18 this morning. And this is kind of a, I'm going to go ahead and call it a part two of what we started last week. But both of these messages are standalone messages. So I encourage you, if you weren't here last Sunday, to go listen to that by podcast. You can go to hfchurch.com. It was called Operation Unoffendable. And it was funny because I had people texting me and even saw it my Uncle Jack this week. And what was that cuss word you said, that biblical cuss word? Raca, you know. So we all learned the word raca. And but so this message is kind of a part two. And it's a standalone message. And the title of it is Overcoming Unforgiveness. So we're going to go from Operation Unoffendable to Overcoming Unforgiveness. And I just want to say this as we start off. And I'm going to give you some very practical things today. I love seeing Grace and her little friend over here taking notes or ready to take notes. But I'm wanting to give you practical things. I'm a practical guy. This is a spiritual book that we're looking into, the Word of God, the Bible. But I want to give you some practical things that's going to help you to overcome unforgiveness. Because if you're married, if you're in a family, if you're breathing, so to speak, you're going to have the opportunity to walk in unforgiveness, and it's a trap, it's a scheme of the enemy, and we're seeing this in our nation just running rampant, you know, and God had been speaking to me back when all this started about, you know, because I was praying, I was like, Lord, what do you mean to start, you know, to focus on and teach on, and the Lord was really talking to me about mindsets and, you know, this nation, whether we realize this or not, is our mindsets are controlled by the media. And it just filters down. So you got to watch what you're taking in. And it's filtering down, and it's causing all kinds of divisive behavior, unforgiveness. And it just seems like, I don't know if you're like me, but everywhere you go, you just feel like people are on edge. You know, just in just this, because of this spirit that's at work, trying to get people divided and trying to get you to walk in unforgiveness. And I just want to teach you and teach myself as well to let's not let that happen. Amen. And so the first scripture that we're going to look at is 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, and it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And so we're not called to cope. We're not called to deal with things and all that kind of stuff. We're called to conquer and overcome, and overcome forgiveness. Now, we're going to have to look at the bad side of, and that's the title, Overcoming Unforgiveness. And here's the main question regarding forgiveness. And I want you to ask yourself this, because Jade and I'm very transparent with you guys, right? Jade and I had a little tiff this morning coming to church. How many of you ever had a little tiff coming to church in the mornings? Good. Be honest. But what wisdom, what happens is we recognize it early. We got in the car. Jade said, I apologize for being short. And I said, I do too. Because I knew, and I'm glad she went first. I was holding out until she, I'll be honest with you. She went first, then I was, but I knew, yeah, Dad's like, no, that don't count. I'd already told myself, if she doesn't do it by the time we get to church, I'm going to do it. Because I know I can't get up here and preach and teach God's word, but she went first, so, you know. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to brag on my wife. The best one always goes first, by the way, okay? And I don't know if, you know, in some families, some people are real easy on forgiving and forgetting, and then there's some people that just really hold grudges. Who am I talking to, you know? And so, but we have to be quick to forgive. And so here's the main question regarding forgiveness. What is my motive? If your honest response is God's glory and the good of everyone involved, then your heart is right. If your motive is revenge or vindication, and I'm going to tell you, my motive is not right this morning. She's got to go first, Lord. If your motive is revenge or vindication, then it is likely based in unforgiveness. All right, so you got to answer that question. What is my motive? There's all kinds of forms of unforgiveness. Revenge, which can lead to murder, violence, and abuse. Hate, verbal abuse, slander, gossip, sarcasm, labeling, name-calling. We're seeing that go on at crazy, rampant things going on in our nation right now. Divorce, rejection, and avoidance for punishment's sakes. withholding good from someone, transference of affection, prejudice, bigotry, racism or sexism, bitterness, internally wishing for bad things to happen to someone, praying against someone. I love what my dad told me, I think it was last week. I'm gonna pick on my dad because he's on the front row every Sunday. But he was telling me this story about, overcoming unforgiveness or Operation Unoffendable. And he said, boy, he goes, I was back when I was in the oil field and I had a boss that was above me and he just was a difficult guy to get along with and just kind of grated on my nerves. And he goes, I found myself, I was praying for him. Lord, do something with this guy. Change him. Make him, better towards me. And then finally he said, the Holy Spirit finally tapped me on my heart and said, hey, won't you start praying for yourself in your about your responses towards him? And Dad said, when I started praying for myself instead of praying for that guy, when I started praying for myself, things changed. And so just going to use Dad this morning for a little bit of wisdom because that was good. All right, Matthew chapter 18 is our main scripture text for today. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is when Jesus is teaching about the parable of the unforgiving servant. And in verse 21, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And I want you to know that, get this mental picture of Peter with his chest stuck out because he's trying to be, he's the outspoken one. I'm going to be the best disciple, all this. I'm going to forgive seven times because the number seven means complete. And I love Jesus' response. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. That's 490 times, okay? And I'm sure, and I'm going to insert a scripture here. Peter said, O-M-U. Said OMG. Some of you will get that later. All right, OMU. That's not there. Okay, yeah. Thank you for the delayed laugh. I worked on that all week for this moment right there. All right, verse 23 says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, even if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now I want you to write this down. Unforgiveness is the number one door opener to the enemy. Unforgiveness is the number one door opener to the enemy. And I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes, this outline is an A, B, C, D outline, and there's going to be points under each letter, A. So here's A. A is this: three shocking truths concerning unforgiveness. And here's number one. It is shocking how seriously God takes the issue of unforgiveness. It's a big deal to God. It's not just something you wink at. God's saying, get that out of your heart quickly. You're giving a foothold to the enemy if you don't. It's serious business. He also says that what we just read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. He says, if you do not forgive his brother, I can't forgive you. And this is also, here's another good scripture. Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 27 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. All right? And I know y'all have been the ones that's been in church any length of time. You know my story with Jada. She uses that scripture towards me a lot because I can hold a grudge, and she'll say, honey, sun's going down. Sun's going down. I'm like, I don't care. And they'll say it's going to rise in the east tomorrow too, but I'm still mad, you know. And because she's using scripture against me. She's like, read it. I'm like, yeah, I'll read it tomorrow. Maybe I'll get over it tomorrow. But no, we laugh about it because it helps me to, you know, we'll laugh about it just like we did, and it helps me to get over it quicker. And some of us need to get over it. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you just need to get over it. All right. Some people just need to hear that hard truth sometimes. Matthew 6, verse 15 says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There's that scripture in Matthew chapter 6, and that's during the Lord's Prayer. Here's number two, okay? So it's a big deal for God. It is shocking how petty unforgiveness seems from God's perspective. All right? So in that story, when I related this and I looked this up for us, that was equivalent where that one master forgave him. It was equivalent in our dollar today of that master forgiving him $3 billion. And then he goes out and has somebody that owes him $10,000, and he's trying to get him to pay him back. So I want you to get that's how big a perspective it is to God, how petty unforgiveness seems from God's perspective. Here's number three. It is shocking how different we are from God regarding forgiveness. And I'm going to read a scripture here out of Psalms chapter 103 that talks about this, verses 8 through 14. And we want God's nature working through us. Amen? When it comes to this unforgiveness and this forgiveness deal. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And I love this. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That's good. Amen. All right, here's B. A, B, C, and D. Here's B. B, understanding the meaning of forgiveness. Number one, permanently forgiving all debt and bringing the balance to zero. That's what God wants. Don't have a balance on anybody's account, all right? Like Jada, I'll forgive her, but she still owes me that $1. No, you got to forgive them all to the zero. Amen? Number two, permanently forfeiting the right of reproach. And number three, permanently forgoing all expressions of private and public judgment. Okay? So you got to bring all those, understand the meaning of forgiveness in God's eyes, bringing all those accounts to zero and not talking about it, not bringing it up again, and casting as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Don't bring it up 10 years later. Remember when? No, that don't work. Anybody tried that in their marriage? That don't work. Okay, here's C. Here's C. C, what forgiveness does not mean. All right, because I wanted to talk about this because a lot of Christians, we think when God tells us to forgive, that then we're just supposed to be a doormat. No, we're not. Amen? We're not supposed to be a doormat. So I want to talk about what forgiveness does not mean under C. So here's what forgiveness does not mean. Number one, forgiveness does not mean I lose the right of self-protection. So Matthew 10, verse 16 says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Doesn't mean I lose the right of self-protection. If you've had a family member that got involved with, you know, in a bad way with drugs, alcohol, or whatever, and you may have to set up some things where you have to self-protect, you can still forgive, but you still got to self-protect. Amen? So forgiving doesn't mean that you just open up all doors and let them come in and do whatever. You still have to, there may be some consequences to what's going on. You forgive from the heart, but you still have to do some self-protection. All right, here's number two. Forgiveness does not mean I have no basis for confrontation. That doesn't mean that you don't talk about it, that you just sweep it under the rug. Yeah. Sometimes we learned last week, sometimes it's good to overlook an offense and don't talk about it. Just overlook it, go on. But there may be some of those things that happen where, you know what, we do need to sit down and talk about this. you know, we need to, you know, I'm picking on Jada this morning because I feel like a marriage conference is going on right now. But there may be times where, yeah, you overlook, and then finally you're like, okay, we need to talk about this, right? And because you've overlooked a whole bunch of stuff, so we need to sit down and talk about it. So forgiveness does not mean I have no basis for confrontation. That's Ephesians 4:15. The Apostle Paul tells believers to speak the truth in love. And then there's a way to do it without raising your voice. Amen? Your tone, everything, your body language, and being able to talk about it. All right. Here's number three. Forgiveness does not mean there should not be punishment or consequences. Sometimes when, you know, something happens there because of the laws of the land, there's punishment or there's consequences. It doesn't mean that you get out of it. Sometimes it's great when God delivers you hook, line, and sinker, you know, but sometimes that don't happen, you know. Sometimes you're forgiven, but you're going to still have to suffer the consequences of whatever you did or they did or whatever. And then and I've had people do that to me. They'll say, "Well, then you haven't forgiven me." Yes, I have. I have forgiven you. But, okay, I've forgiven you, but there's still consequences. All right, here's number four. Forgiveness does not mean I cannot seek legal or police protection. You may have to do that, but you can still forgive. And I'm going to add one here that I didn't put on here. And so here's number five. I'm going to add this because I thought of this morning on my way over here as I was thinking about this message and everything, because this is something I've walked through here recently, and I had to sit down and talk to Jada about it. Years ago, I had somebody do me wrong, and just here not too long ago, that door opened back up, and I felt like I've forgiven him from my heart, but I don't feel like we need to be buddy buddies and best friends, okay, right? And so that door opened back up, and I could tell that person was like, have they forgiven me? Are we going to be buddies? Are we going to be buddies and pals and amigos? And I'm like, no, you know, we're not. And I felt bad because then, you're a pastor or you're a Christian, you know. And I didn't have no animosity in my heart towards him. I felt like I'd forgiven him from my heart. And I talked to Jade about it. And Jade was like, no, honey, and I'm going to write what she told me. Forgiveness, and she probably don't remember doing this, but she said this line to me. Forgiveness does not mean I trust you again, or that we become best friends. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. You can forgive. Trust is earned. It really is. And so there was something that happened in this relationship, happened years ago, that trust was violated, and I had to walk through a season of forgiving this person. And then here recently, they wanted to come back. I could tell they wanted to come back into my life, and I'm like, I had to close that door. You know, I forgive, but the trust is still not there. And so I just want you to know, because a lot of Christians get these mixed up. They just think, okay, if we forgive, then I've got to love everybody and be best friends with everybody, and then I'm a doormat, and you know, it's kind of like the story of Jesus. Well, you know, I turned the other cheek, and then you're finally like, oh, I've only got four, God, you know, and some of you will get that later. And that's kind of, you know, that's where you're at. But God, there is that overlooking, turning the cheek and all that, but you got to understand what forgiveness is and what it isn't. And I'm hoping I'm helping you this morning as your pastor. So forgiveness does not mean that you have to open up the door of trust again and become best friends. It's beautiful when that happens, but you can forget. Let me say that another way. You can forgive without there being reconciliation. Okay? You can. It's a beautiful thing when reconciliation happens. Both sides forgive. They come together. But you can forgive and there not be reconciliation. And it's okay. And you're saved. And you're going to heaven. Amen? Okay. Because the enemy, I know how the enemy beats you up. Because he beat me up about it. Well, you're not walking in forgiveness. Where's the love of God in you? No, there's self-protection too, all right? All right, here's D, how to forgive from the heart. We have to remember this. Our sins cost Jesus his life. That's why he went to the cross. It was for us. So you have to remember that. That's how we forgive from the heart. Number two is God loves our offenders as much as he loves us. It's hard for us to believe that sometimes, but he does, okay? So how to forgive from the heart. And then number three is we permanently release debt and judgment. We got to permanently do this. Don't. And the reason why I keep saying that is because sometimes I'll half forgive you. No, you got to forgive it all and bring that account to zero. That's what Matthew 18 was, what Jesus was teaching about. Romans 12, verses 17 through 19 says, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. All right, so we permanently release debt and judgment. Here's number four. Number four, we bless and pray for our enemies, okay? We bless and pray for our enemies. Luke 6, verse 28 says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. And blessing our enemy forces forgiveness from our heads to our hearts. And even if you've got to go, Betty always reminds me of this because I think it was back downtown at Main Street. I did a message one time and on this passage where Jesus says to bless your enemies. And I said, even if you have to do it through gritted teeth and go, bless them, you know, do it. You're doing it by faith then, all right? Bless them and bless those. And you're going to find out that your enemies are going to, they'll teach you a whole lot of things about yourself before anybody else does. Amen. And the things that you need to work on. And then here's number five. Number five, we resist the devil. Revelation 12:10 calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. He's constantly trying to get us to accuse one another against one another because he's the accuser of the brethren. And I'm going to tell you what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is spiritual warfare. That's what forgiveness is. Because like I said earlier, unforgiveness is the biggest door opener to the enemy. Forgiveness is spiritual warfare. So with that, I'm going to give you some practical things today to jot down. And I'll email this to anybody if you want these notes because I know I'm going kind of fast this morning. But I'm going to give you some practical spiritual warfare when it comes to forgiveness and walking in forgiveness. Practical spiritual warfare. Remember Jada. Don't go to bed angry, okay? Don't go to bed angry. Even if it's with your spouse or something that happened that day at work or something, you know, family, whatever, don't go to bed angry, all right? Deal with it that day. Second thing is deal with offenses and hurts every day. Don't take them to bed with you. Deal with them every day. As soon as they come up, drop it. You know, last week it was funny. I said, drop it like it's hot. Drop it. Just as soon as it happens, drop it. Okay. Number three, don't take up other people's offenses. All right. Don't let somebody else help you. You know, take up my offense. You know, I've done it. I'm gonna tell off of myself, transparent. As soon as something happens, call Jada. Guess what they did. You know, then I've got her offended with me. Sometimes does she need to know? Yes. Sometimes she don't. Sometimes I need to be a man of God and handle it and drop it and overlook it. Amen? Instead of calling her up and saying, you know what they did? Honey, help me. Love me. Oh. Alan, he's laughing. All right. Yeah, that has happened when I've done that. But sometimes we just need to be the man or the woman of God and say, you know what? I need to deal with it. I need to take care of it. I need to put it under the blood. I need to drop it and not talk to anybody else about it. Not even my spouse. Just need to go on. And everybody said, amen. All right. It goes right into the next one. Don't rehearse and nurse hurts. All right. Don't sit around and mull over it and think about it. And then that's the enemy's playground. Is your mind. Reverse hurts by forgiving, blessing, and loving your enemies. And then the last one there is don't justify unforgiveness, self-pity, or bitterness, because you can. I guarantee you, we could go around the room and you could tell me what you're dealing with in this area of unforgiveness, and every one of us in there you would say, you have got the right to walk in unforgiveness. And here's the deal. None of us in here have the right to walk in unforgiveness, and I don't care what has been done to you. Because of what Jesus did for us. All right, here's some takeaways today. The takeaways are this. The poison of unforgiveness damages the vessel it is stored in, and that's you. All right, it doesn't hurt the other person, unforgiveness. when you walk in under forgiveness, and I read this statement, this quote, and I'm probably going to chop it all up, but he said, I think it was a pastor that said it. He said, you know, when we walk in unforgiveness, we actually think that we're hurting the other person, but we're actually hurting us. It's like us drinking the poison. And so you got to remember that. The poison of unforgiveness damages the vessel it is stored in. I'm going to tell you something else about unforgiveness, because it is a door opener to the enemy. It is also the door opener to all kinds of sickness and diseases. When you harbor that, and the more you, we got nurses in here in Alena, they can tell you the truth, that's what happens. When you harbor that unforgiveness for that long, it can cause all kinds of ailments in your body. The next thing is forgiveness does not make the offender right. It just makes you free. Remember that, all right? Forgiveness makes you free. Forgiveness is one of the most self-loving things you will ever do for yourself, is walking in forgiveness, all right? I'm going to pray over you guys today. Can we do that? All right, I'm going to say this prayer over all of us, including myself. Did this help you all today? Okay, walking in forgiveness, and we're wanting to overcome unforgiveness. So I'm going to pray this over all of us. Lord Jesus, help us to forgive and bless rather than relive and stress. I'm going to say that again, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us all here today to forgive and bless rather than relive and stress. And I'm lifting up any bitterness or accumulated offenses to you today, and I release it all into your hands today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want everyone to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, and I just want you to focus on you, yourself, and your relationship with the Lord. We do this every Sunday here at Harvest Fellowship Church, because I don't know everybody that's actually here today. I don't know those that are watching online. This is also going to be on the radio as well. And I want to have the privilege and the honor of leading you in a prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just like Wyatt did earlier today during worship when he came up here with Carrie and Jada and did that. And this is, the Apostle Paul told us, it's the easiest thing to do, and it's in Romans 10. When you feel that tug of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's wooing you, the goodness of God is leading to your repentance. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to help you call upon the name of the Lord through this prayer, and it's called a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them today. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. Jada, will you come up here, babe? And we're going to bless you guys coming in and going out today. And we're going to speak this blessing over you. I was telling my Uncle Jack yesterday about this blessing, because he had spoke this over his family out at the family reunion here a week or so ago, and I'd found this blessing. It's actually Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. It's called the priestly blessing, but I found this one time because it was like an extended version of that what you find in Numbers chapter 6. So I want to speak this over all of us. There's power in blessing, by the way. Amen. All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, Amen. All right, I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, I forgive you. Practice right here. I forgive you too, baby.